This is a 5-on-5 series. So for those of you who are new, what that is our church is totally built around a 5S journey of getting people into a practice of solitude with God, scripture, service, support, and significant events. If you integrate those into your life, you cannot help but grow. And so these series, we have about 4 or 5 series a year where we say, okay, we're going to locate in and provide a resource for you to get with your spouse, to get with your family, to get with your friends, to start a small group. And so if you go to our website this week, there is actually a bug that in the app, Android and Apple are trying to fix. It was supposed to be up this week. We found out today there's a glitch in it. And so if you go to our website, on the upper right-hand corner where it says Stress Breakers, you'll see a button you can push and you can download this week's. They're also on our app, on our 5-on-5 app that we do have that has other 5-on-5 series we've done. There is a starting a group application, and it'll just tell you everything you need to say. You know what? I've been wanting to get into group life. I've been wanting to get my life integrated with others. I've got friends. And or our family can do this, and it just tells you from A to Z how to start a group. If the only thing you really need is you like people. Do you like people? If you don't like people, please do not start a group. Okay, don't do that. If you don't like people, Jesus will help you, but don't start a group. But if you like people, this will tell you A to Z how you can start a group, and it just goes 5 weeks, right? So you're just dating for 5 weeks. It's not marriage. You know, you're not marrying these people forever. You begin it with, hey, we're just doing this 5 weeks, and do that. Because I'm telling you, these brown seats will end their fizz. Okay, there comes a point where the brown seats don't fizz as much as they did when you first came. If you don't get into relationship, you do not connect. It's just that simple. And this is a way in the crowd that we want to get you into community. And the way we do that is providing resources like this. We would love for you to do that. We'd also, as Jason said, love for you to be a part. Austin and I have started this journey last year with this podcast, Chucked. You can go right now on your phone, download this week's Hot Air Balloons, the Philadelphia Eagles, and Something as Common as Socks into Shoes. That's the title of this week's. If that title does not intrigue you, nothing will, okay? But it's about the power Jesus has to unify. And we see that most recently in the Philadelphia Eagles in their win in the Super Bowl this year. I know a lot of you were happy that the Eagles won, right? A lot of you were happy that the Eagles won. Yeah. I didn't have a horse in the race, but I was good either way. Now, in the last year, how many of you, I'm just going to do a little survey, how many of you, raise your hand if you've experienced a little stress in the last year? Okay, raise your hand. Okay, yeah, surprise, surprise. How many of you have experienced a moderate amount of stress, more than usual? Raise your hand. Okay, so yeah, not as many, but how many of you have experienced a deep amount of stress in the last year? Wow. Now, how many of you are fine, but the person you're sitting next to looks like they need a deep tissue massage right now? They're just, yeah. So a lot of you are doing fine, but people next to you aren't. Here's a test someone did to see if you check off 4 or 5 of these that you've said lately, then you're pretty stressed. You need this series. It's been a long week. You said that on Tuesday. Rolaids with stevia is now my favorite dessert. I don't think I get enough credit for the fact that I do all that I do unmedicated. That's not very funny because most of you are medicated, so that's not actually very funny. Don't tell me to relax. The only thing holding me together is the tension. You feel that way. I'm getting on my own nerves. Have you said this lately? Yes. You're going, yeah, I'm getting on my own nerves. If I had to rate my stress, I'd say I'm pretty close to 2007 Britney Spears when she shaved her head. That's how I'm feeling right now. Going to bed early, not leaving my house, not going to a party. My childhood punishments have become my adult goals. Have you said, I'm already tired tomorrow? I'm already overwhelmed. Or it's February and I'm already looking forward to that season where I switch from my everyday stress to my fancy Christmas stress. I would like my straitjacket in hot pink and my helmet to sparkle. You're kind of off it right now. I have all the side effects they list on prescription drug commercials. And finally, if you've said this, they say that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. At this point, I should be able to bench press a Buick. How many of you feel that way, right? Yeah. So we're going to talk about stress in a totally different way, because if you don't understand what stress is, how it your faith affects it, and how your body is affected by stress, then stress is going to be a very negative thing. It's going to affect you negatively. We do funny things when we're stressed. Do you know what stress is? Stress is a sign that you care about something. That's what it is. You're never stressed about things you don't care about. How many of you, you weren't stressed at the Super Bowl because you didn't care who won. It didn't stress you. Others of you were praying to God during that game because you had the Eagles as your team. Stress is a sign that you care about something. That's very important to understand. But when you see it as a negative, it does funny things to your brain and to your body. I really, for example, it's funny how I can speak in front of hundreds of people. But when my wife asks me to make her Starbucks order when we're in the drive-thru line, I lose my capacity to talk to other human beings. Are any of you like that? Because I order a hot chocolate when I go to Starbucks. That's really easy to remember and really easy to say. And I can memorize chunks of scripture. I have yet to memorize her Starbucks order. It's way too complicated for my brain when I'm right there in front of that speaker and they're laughing at me. I know they are behind the speaker in the store. I know they are, because all these confident black SUVs are ahead of me. These people that know how to make these orders. And I just, so I get up there and there's just always this, what is wrong with me? And so here's, welcome to Starbucks. Can I help you? I want a small cup of that. It's hot and it's milk and cocoa and it's yummy, yummy, good, good. And hot chocolate. Oh yeah, hot chocolate. And then comes the moment when I got to give Sherry's order. I want a mocha, chocolata, yada yada, free your mama, marmalade, cappuccino with two shots of 5-hour energy drink, 3 stevia, 2 Splenda, and a squirt of macaroon juice or something. I mean, it's just. It's crazy, and I just, and then here's what happens. I give that, got it out, and they go, I'm sorry, can you repeat that order? Now, how many of you have been baristas at Starbucks? And we have a bunch of people. It's a stressful job because you're on the other end of that, and there are people who are nervous, and there's just this communication going through there that's all this nervousness. Well, all that to say that when you don't understand your body, when you're stressed, it's going to be a negative and you're going to do funny things and it's going to do funny things to you. But there is a way you can have your mind renewed. And if you'll stick with me for the next 6 weeks of this series, we are going to hopefully renew your mind. And we're going to do it through an image that has to do with sun and surf and beach. How many of you are looking for, how many of you need some sun, surf, and beach? I'm a beach person. Oh, man. So we're going to take 6 weeks to think about the sun, the surf, and the beach. And we're going to do it through this image by a guy named Jonathan Martinson. He said this. Actually, Travis Bradbury quoted this a while back. And look at this image he gives about emotion, and it translates to stress. So give me the slide, guys, on Jonathan Martinson. Feelings are much like waves. We can't stop them from coming, but we can choose which one to surf. And that is true when it comes to the emotion of stress. The imagery of stress is, the research shows, as you're going to see, throughout this series, we climb the mountain of knowledge and we get to the top, and the Bible's been sitting there waiting for us the whole time. And the thing about stress is, if you stand on the shore and you say, I hate waves, you're going to get crashed into. But if you choose to say there's some power, there's some energy in that wave, which is all that is. All a wave is energy transferred through water. If you choose to say, you know what, I'm going to ride that, it'll change your life. And the way to start that is with the life of faith. Look at these words. I want you to see these words from James chapter 1. We're going to look at these tonight. James chapter 1, verses 16 to 18, where some pretty, you know, James is probably as well known of an epistle as there is in the New Testament. He says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth, renewal." It's not talking about physical birth. It's talking about a renewal through the word of reality, the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Now, you're going to see why we're looking at this text tonight. I'm going to read this to you in the Message Bible. "So, my very dear friends, don't get thrown off course." Verse 16. "Every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. These gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. There is nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. He brought us to life using the true word, showing us off as the crown of all his creatures." Now, why is that critical? You know why that's critical? Because it's one of the shallowly used sections of Scripture. A lot of us have used James 1, 16 and 17 particularly to say, "Oh, God is so good. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. My life is so good." Very few of us have said that in the midst of stress. Very few of us, I bet that's never been quoted. I bet in 2,000 years of Scripture, someone's stressed and they go, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father." I bet that's never happened before. Well, some of you are so dang spiritual, probably you have done it. But anyhow, you don't count because you were born spiritual. Anyway, so you know why this is critical? Because that is right in the middle of a section where Paul says, "Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you can be mature. Blessed is the person who perseveres under trial, because when they've stood the test, they'll be crowned with life." He says this about God's good gifts in the middle of a section about very, very stressed, under duress circumstances. What he is telling us is, in the middle of some of the most stressful realities of your life are the good and perfect gifts of God. And that God built you to get stronger through those. But you have to understand what it does. You have to understand what it does. So if you're taking notes, take your little sheet right here, and on the front, write this phrase down. When it comes to stress, the effect you expect is the effect you get. The effect you expect is the effect you get. Physical reality, your body, is more subjective than we realized for a lot of years. But now we know scientifically, what you expect, you get. Your brain affects your body. What you believe affects your body. The effect you expect when it comes to stress is the effect you get. If you sit here tonight and you go, "I believe that God made my body that when I'm under stress, it releases oxytocin. It releases all these chemicals that say, act, act. Do something." It is a positive. It's telling me that I have within me the capability to act. If you believe that, guess what stress has? Guess what effect stress has on your body? A positive effect. If you say, "I am so stressed. I am on my own nerves. This is terrible. My life is awful." Guess what effect literally stress has on your body? A negative effect. It tears your body down. Now, most of us were raised on Hungarian endocrinologist Hans Selye's view of stress. And he, God bless him, in the 1930s, he framed stress as nothing but a negative. So we Americans have grown up, and the American dream, if you translate it, is get stress-free. Live a stress. Isn't that the American dream? Aren't all of you, you know, working to bring home the bacon so that someday you can go to Boca Raton and have a stress-free life? And what we're going to learn in this series is that is a myth. If you want to die, try to be stress-free. If you want to be stressed, try to be stress-free. If you want to, like, "I don't like the waves of stress, I'm going to fight them off," That's the surest way to get drenched with stress. And it'll run you over on the beach. But if you see stress as something that says, I am made by God, wonderfully made, to act when I'm under duress, to do something, then stress becomes something that you ride. The trick in the title of this series is we are the stress breakers. We learn to ride the surf of stress. And I think that's what Jesus did. That allowed him to get stronger and stronger the more he faced duress. A favorite researcher of mine, Dr. Alia Crum at Columbia University, has two interesting experiments she did that illustrate this. One was a pretty well-known number is that housekeeping burns around 300 calories an hour. Did you know that? So guys, all that housekeeping you're doing at your house, we need to do a series on sharing the chores at this church, don't we? So Alia Crum said, she told one group of housekeepers they were getting significant exercise. 300 calories an hour they were burning. More than enough than the daily recommended for good health. She told another group of housekeepers that exercise is very important, but they were not told that their work qualified as exercise. 4 weeks later, those who had been told their work qualified as exercise had lost weight, body fat, their blood pressure was lower, and they liked their jobs more. The effect they expected was the effect they got. But 4 weeks later, the housekeepers in the controlled groups showed no changes physically. Well, this is interesting. The first group had not made any changes, she writes, to their behavior outside work. The only thing they had changed was their belief that what they were doing burned 300 calories an hour. Now, if you hear that and you go, oh man, this is great. I'm going home and binging on Game of Thrones tonight because I believe I'm going to lose weight while I do that. That is not what's going to happen, okay? They were actually doing work, okay? They were actually housekeeping and doing something that burns 300 calories an hour. But what they experienced was the effect you expect is the effect you get. She did another experiment. She did what she called her shake tasting study. She invited hungry participants to come to her lab at 8 in the morning. They'd been fasting for 12 hours. And she said, on their first visit, participants were given a milkshake labeled indulgence, decadence you deserve, with a nutritional label showing 620 calories and 30 grams of fat. Oh, yeah. On their second visit, 1 week later, they drank a milkshake labeled census shake, guilt-free satisfaction, and the label read 140 calories, 0 grams of fat. As they drank the shake, she writes, the participants were hooked up to an intravenous catheter that drew blood samples. She was measuring changes in blood levels of ghrelin, also known as the hunger hormone. When blood levels of ghrelin go down, you feel full. And when blood levels of ghrelin go up, you feel more hungry. That's why it's called the hunger hormone. When you eat something very high in calories or fat, your ghrelin levels go down dramatically. And when you eat broccoli, your ghrelin levels can go up, right? She said you would expect a decadent milkshake and a healthful one to have a very different effect on ghrelin levels. And they did. Drinking the census shake led to a small decline in ghrelin, while consuming the indulgence shake produced a much bigger drop in ghrelin levels in the blood. But get this. The milkshake labels were a sham. Both times participants had been given the exact same 380-calorie milkshake. I could give you about half a dozen more studies that show belief affects your body. We are more integrated as beings than we realize. We are a body, a mind, and a spirit. and how you believe in your mind, how you feel in your spirit affects your body way, way, way much more than we even previously realized. Man, we scale the mountain of knowledge and we get to the top, and the Bible has been waiting the whole time for us to get there. Right? And so she said, okay, maybe this applies to how people perceive stress. Maybe our perception of stress affects our bodies. And she certainly discovered something that was critical. Dr. Kelly McGonigal is a professor at Stanford University. Look at these words that she wrote. A placebo effect tends to have a short-lived impact on a highly specific outcome. But the consequences of a certain mindset snowball over time, increasing in influence and long-term impact. Write that down. A certain mindset. This is Romans 12:2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A certain mindset is a small wave, we might say in this series, that starts out there in the ocean as kind of a little thing, but by the time it gets to the shore of your future, it picks up steam. It's energy upon energy, and it has a tremendous effect upon your life. Your beliefs affect your body. Your beliefs affect your body. It is not just a placebo effect. Think about this. Some of you are aging. Well, actually, all of you are, aren't you? Yeah. But some of us feel it. Some of us feel it. You know, I know to many of you, I look old, but I feel young. I'm 56. I still feel young. Age is a very relative thing. Who was it that said, you know, it's interesting that the only time we get excited about getting older is when we're a little kid, right? That's the only time in your whole life you'll be excited about getting older. How old are you? You give that answer in fractions. You're so excited about getting older. I'm 4 and a half. Right? I'm 4 and a half. I'm heading to 5. And then before you know it, you're a teenager, right? You're a teenager and you start rounding up. You remember when you did that as a teenager? You're not there yet, but somebody asks you how old you are and you say, I'm going on 16. Now you may be 13, but you're rounding up to 16, right? Because you're heading to 16. And then remember that magical day comes when you become 21. Remember that? It's like, it even sounds like a ceremony, doesn't it? The greatest day of your life, when you become 21, and now you are an adult. But then it happens. I'm telling you, those of you who are becoming 21, you will be shocked at how quickly you turn 30. Right? It just sounds like milk that turned bad, didn't it? We had to throw him out. He turned 30. And then before you know it, you're pushing 40. And then you make 50. You weren't sure that you'd make it to that ancient age when you were younger. And then you reach 60. And then you've got so much momentum that you hit 70, right? You hit 70. And then life becomes a cycle in and of itself. When you're in your 70s, you begin to think in terms of, can I reach lunch? Can I, you know, you begin to break it back down. Then you turn into your 80s and you start doing the whole fractional thing. You know, I just turned 82. Like you're trying to measure it back down again, aren't you? That's how we think when it comes to 80. Somebody said, when you turn 100, you just become a kid all over again. I'm 100 and a half now. I'm 100 and a half. And then you start doing it again. Now here's the thing about aging. Here's what research shows. Is people who see aging as a positive have lower blood pressure. They live 8 years longer than those who see aging as a negative. They actually live 8 years longer. They recover from surgeries quicker and on and on and on because your belief affects your body. My good friend, Dr. Gary Sweeten. Gary is one of the dearest friends I have in my life. Gary is here tonight with Karen, and he turns 80 this year. Give it up for my good friend, Dr. Sweeten, back there. And one of the reasons I love him like my second dad is because he is the youngest 80-year-old you've ever met in your life. He is the youngest 80-year-old. And I love that because I want to embrace aging. The belief that you have about it affects your body. The effect you expect is the effect you're going to get. Now, what, you know, we obviously naturally conclude from this as well. It's because if you're a pessimist, you get self-fulfilling prophecies, right? So if you're a pessimist about aging, you're not going to take care of your body as much because you think, you know what? I'm 50. I'm over the hill. I'm as good as dead. Right? It's not uncommon, is it? And so you become a self-fulfilling prophecy, but it goes beyond that. Your brain affects your biochemistry. It's amazing how God made us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. So here's what I want you to look at as we start this series. There are two mindsets that you can have about stress. And I want you to look at yourself as we get into this series these next 6 weeks. Okay, here's mindset number one. This is from Kelly McGonigal. Mindset number one is stress is harmful. Okay, now this is what I used to think. I don't know about you, but how many of you have lived most of your life thinking stress is negative? Old Hans the Hungarian was right. Stress is terrible. And I am living to golf every day someday. Because golf isn't stressful, as you know. Yeah, stress is harmful. Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I'm under stress most of the time. You know that research has shown that once a church passes 70 people, sociological and spiritual forces are in play to bring that number down. Do you know that? Right there is all you need to know how stressful church can be. Because we're a little bigger than 70. And so we have all thousands of these moving parts. If 5% of you are malfunctioning, the chaos that causes is unbelievable. So I live, my week is, for me, and my weekend stay, I'm very much under stress. And I used to go, oh, I can't wait to get done with this. I can't wait till this is over. I can't wait to fix it. Now, the last 2 years since I've been reading Dr. Kelly McGonigal's research, I've learned to not look at stress this way. I've learned to ride it, to embrace it. I'll show you how in a minute. But mindset number one is how I used to live. Stress is harmful. Look at this list. Okay. This means experiencing stress depletes my health and vitality. You have that belief. When in actuality, that's not true. If you don't believe that's true, experiencing stress debilitates my performance and productivity. If you believe that's true, it will. If you don't believe that's true, it won't. Experiencing stress inhibits my learning and growth. Next one, experiencing stress, the effects of stress are negative and should be avoided. And so if you are that person and you are standing on the shore of your life and you are trying to fight off the waves of stress, from tonight you should just know, oh, that's why I'm so wet and choking with seawater all the time. It's because that's how I've been trying to live my life. But the mindset that she says, another mindset that research shows that Scripture speaks into, is stress is enhancing. You can learn to ride the wave of stress. And I know, here's what Dr. McGonigal says, that people who get this research who are really stressed right now go, yeah, you're saying that because you're a preacher and you work one day a week. Right. You work one day a week. You really have no stress. You think your pitiful little life is so stressful. You get my life. And you'll see that it's just nothing but a bunch of junk, this idea that stress is positive. So if, I understand that. Stress is enhancing. Four markers on this. And you would expect they are the opposite of the other ones. Experiencing stress enhances my performance and productivity. Experiencing stress improves my health and vitality. If you believe that's true, it is true. Experiencing stress facilitates my learning and growth. That's why you become mature. The effects of stress are positive and should be utilized. And I think this is where a foundation of a life in Christ comes into play. Because here he is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's saying, Father, I am being crushed under the weight of this responsibility, this calling, this purpose of my life. Yet not my will. What did he say? Your will be done. I am embracing this moment. I am riding the power of this moment. And it says he stood up and faced his accusers. Like he didn't try to run into the pressure. He just simply rode out the pressure. This is what he was made of. So if you're here, I'm going to give you three things. If you're here and you say, okay, I'm going to come back, I'm going to listen to this, I'm going to be challenged by this because I'm not sure if I buy this yet. And here are three things that you can do tonight. Number one, acknowledge stress when you experience it. When you care about something, from something as useless as football to your winter finals, you know, something that's really important to you that you care about, your body has a physiological response to that we're going to actually get into in this series. Learn to embrace that. Get your surfboard out and just start riding that wave. Feel the wave. Now, I know some of you right now are riding 100-foot waves. And this is going to take some learning. It is. It's going to take some learning. To learn how to allow yourself to notice the stress, including how it affects your body. And why this is important is because many of us have what Kelly McGonigal calls mindset blindness. We don't even realize that every time we feel stressed, we want to go self-medicate. We want to escape it. We want to numb it. We're not even at all aware of its effect on our body. We just know it's there, and we have been trained to think, get out of this, run from it, fight it. No, I'm going to ask you to what Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Get on your faith surfboard and say, Father, I'm going to acknowledge that right now my body is responding to something I care about. It's a really nice way to put stress, isn't it? My body is in response to something I care about. Number two, welcome the stress by recognizing it is a response to something that you care about. And here's the question with that. Can you connect to the positive motivation behind the stress? What is at stake here, and why does it matter to you? This is why journaling can be so good, because from tonight you could start a stress journal. Boy, you could write books, couldn't you? Why does this matter to me so much? What old unresolved issues and sins are at play here that are causing this to be such a big deal to me? Why? Acknowledge it. Why do you react to certain things with such trepidation and fear and anxiety? What's really going on there from your past? So this is the step where instead of saying, you take a moment and you say, you know, I am so stressed. You've said that, right? That here's a great thing to do. Dr. McGonigal says that you sit and you go, I'm so stressed. So do that right now. Everybody do that. Look to the person you came with and look at them and go, you're so stressed. No, say, I'm so stressed. Yeah, just say it. Practice it while you're in the safety of church. I am so stressed. Would this sermon please end, because I am so stressed. Number three, make use of that energy that stress gives you. Because that's the thing. It's not a negative. It actually, your body, there are about three major chemicals that are flowing from your body, put in there by your Creator who loved you and designed you fearfully and wonderfully, that say that when you feel and think, you better act. Here's what we do with stress. We feel, think. Say you're in the woods, you see a bear, and you feel, think. What are you going to do? What's going to happen? The bear's going to eat you, right? Because you didn't act. Because your body is saying, it's being charged with chemicals that say, run, Forrest, run, right? But you feel, think. So let's say you work for a bear, and you feel, think, and you're going to get eaten up by that. When the body is saying, act, do something, don't be a victim. Don't be a victim of your circumstances. Many of us think, my life will be so stress-free if this will change and this will change and this will change and if she will change and if he will change. When in reality, you are wired by God to trust in Him. And look at this. Instead of wasting that energy trying to manage your stress, fight the wave, what can you do right now that reflects your goals and values? What's something you can do that says, I got on my faith surfboard and I rode that out to this end? most of the time, if nothing else, I think stress is leading us to pray. I think stress is the action of taking a walk in the woods sometimes and just solitude before God. Stress is often an indicator I need to open up Scripture, right? I need to open up Scripture. I need to let God speak into me. Stress often is a sign I need to get out of my own head, right, and serve someone else. Get out of my own little head. Stress is often a sign. We're going to find out in this series really big time. God wired you in stress for support. Do you know that? There's actually a chemical, oxytocin. It's called the cuddle drug. I wish we could all snort it, to be quite honest, because we would be better people if we could snort oxytocin. That's not very funny either, obviously. But God wired you for support. And when you experience significant events, God wired you to process those and to think about those differently. You know, one of the most misquoted verses of Scripture, I don't even want to say it's a verse, is one of the most misquoted ideas of Scripture. Have you ever heard this? Have you ever said this? God will never give you more than you can handle. Do you know that's actually not true at all? That is not true at all. All right? How many of you can handle terrorism and war and poverty and another season of Honey Boo Boo? How many of you can actually handle that? You can't handle that. That is actually not true at all. You know what? You're going to die someday. Every one of you are going to die. I guarantee you will not be able to handle that. Okay? You are going to die. It doesn't matter what you do to fight the wave of death, it's going to come. Now, listen. What God does say is God in you, there's nothing you can't handle. That when you, stress is an indicator to take an action of solitude or Scripture or service, support, significant events. When you see that as I now have energy to pray, to talk, to listen to someone, to serve someone, then all of a sudden you get to experience the truth that God does give you things that you can't handle. On your own. Look at these words again. Look at these words one more time. James 1. And see, if you can't believe this, my dear, very dear friends, don't get thrown off course by stress. Trial. Every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. Now remember, this is in the midst of actually persecution, which I doubt if many of you are dying for your faith right now. So whatever level of stress you're at and I'm at probably isn't the same level they were at when he wrote this. The gifts God is giving in this stress, in this trial, are waves of light, rivers of light, cascading from the Father of light. Verse 17, next verse. There's nothing deceitful in God. God's not playing games with you. Nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. He brought us to life using the true word, showing us off as the crown of all his creatures. And he's just communicating there in the midst of this tremendous trial you are under. God's great gifts are going to be discovered. One of the things we're going to do in this series is many of us, if we were given an eraser and we could go back over our life and we could erase all the things that caused us great stress, what would we do with that eraser? We might erase all those things, and if we did, we would erase our life and what is really, really meaningful and rich and good about life. Sherry and I went through a period for years where we nearly lost both of our kids. It was unbelievable stress. And people ask me today who know our story, and they ask me, what did you learn from that? And I say, I learned to love. That's what I learned from that. I learned that I didn't know what love really was, but I know what love is now. There are so many good gifts in stress, if you expect there to be. Because the effect you expect is the effect you're going to get. Your beliefs affect your body. You're going to come back next week to hear part two of this? Hey, come back for the Beach Boys music, if nothing else, okay? I mean, just come back for that. Let's pray. So, Father, this is a teaching series. This is not a preaching series. This is just our being challenged by truth as we integrate that science is really discovering what your word has said, that there is a power to belief that we cannot harness nuclear energy really on our own. We cannot harness the power of belief. The power of belief. There's something immeasurably more about trusting you and seeking solitude in you and scripture and service, support, significant events. All these actions we take under stress where good gifts are found. Some of us here are facing overwhelming circumstances. And it may seem like this is uncompassionate tonight to say that stress can be a positive. I know that. I've been there where this didn't feel like a good and perfect gift. There's no way a good gift could be found here. No way. But they are. You're not playing games with us. You're not two-faced. In every adversity that causes a biochemical reaction in our bodies, there is a difference faith makes. We worship and follow the Christ who modeled this. And he could stand up in a garden at night one time and ride the wave of pain and stress that made him sweat blood drops. He was so under duress, through a cross to resurrection, and he models what's there for us. New birth, new life in every stressful situation. Thank you, and we thank you for our church, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. See you next week, everybody. See you next week. Control.